This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, tasliman kathiran kathira. From Mabadu, my brothers and sisters, we come now to a very important and strategically a very critical phase of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which was the migration of a group of people to the kingdom of Aksum, which was in present-day Ethiopia and Eritrea, and it was a Christian kingdom. Now, this happened in the ninth year of prophethood of Rasulullah ﷺ. In one narration it says seventh year, another one it says ninth year. And eventually the people who migrated, they returned, or they came to, not return because they hadn't been there before, but they came to Medina in the 15th year of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's of his prophethood, just before they came actually in, at the time of the Battle of Khaybar. Now, in the first migration, there were 12 men and 4 women who who went to Abyssinia. In the second migration, it was a larger group of 83 men and 18 or 19 women. Now, just give this a little bit of thought and say, why did this happen? Now, people say that this happened because the Muslims were being persecuted in Makkah very badly and very, very mercilessly by the Quraysh, and so Rasulullah ﷺ permitted them to migrate. If that was the case, why only 12 people? Because there were a lot more than that who were Muslim. Also, if you look at some of those people, there was Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu and his wife Ruqayya bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the daughter of Rasulullah ﷺ. Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu was one of the leaders of the Banu Hashim and the of the Quraysh, of the Banu Umayyah. Now, he was never persecuted. He was never persecuted at all at any point in his life. Another one who migrated was Ja'far bin Abi Talib. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was under the protection of Abu Talib, and that was strong enough to keep him protected against the Quraysh. So obviously, you can say that Ja'far radiallahu anhu was the son of Abu Talib. So if the nephew of Abu Talib radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was protected, then obviously the son of Abu Talib also was protected. So why did they migrate? The answer to this is that the migration was not because the Muslims were being persecuted. The migration was, and Muslims were being persecuted. I mean, we're not saying that was not happening. That was happening, but that was not the reason. If that had been the reason, everyone would have gone, right? Including Rasulullah himself. That was not the reason. The reason was that Rasulullah wanted to have a group of Muslims in a place where they were protected from the Quraysh, such that if something happened to him, that means if he was assassinated or something happened to him, then there would be people to carry Islam forward. Islam would not come to an end. Right? Now, see the strategic nature of this decision, and see the amazing the courage of Rasulullah himself. He could have gone, right? He could have left some people in Makkah and say continue the work, and he could have gone to Abyssinia. He didn't. He never went. He sent other people. So this also shows the importance of courage in a leader. Also, it shows who he sent. He sent some of the most influential of the Quraysh. He sent some of the most learned of the Quraysh, of his followers from the Quraysh. And he sent people who were actually capable of carrying on the message of Risala, which we will see. That's exactly what happened. So this is important to remember. Now, after the first group left and went to Aksum, went to Abyssinia, one day Rasulullah ﷺ recited Surah An-Najm. And there were people listening to him, including the non-Muslims, the Quraysh. And when he came to that ayat of sajda, he made sujood, and they also made sujood. Now, why they made sujood and so on, Allah knows best, but they did that. So a rumor started to say that the Quraysh have accepted Islam. So now when this rumor traveled to Abyssinia, when Sayyidina Osman and others, when they heard this, they decided that, okay, so now the problem is over. And on their own, they returned to Makkah. Rasulullah ﷺ didn't invite them to come. They did that. They decided this was the right thing to do, and they came. And then, of course, they came there and they found that this was not true. So a bigger group now left and went to Abyssinia back again. Now, at that time, the Quraysh decided to do something about this, because this was getting problematic for them. And as I said, because of the people who left and went, these were influential people. And the Quraysh didn't like the idea of these influential people, being somewhere else and being some source of problem for them. So they sent Amr ibn al-As, who obviously at that time was not Muslim. He was he knew An-Najashi. An-Najashi, or the Negus, was the title of the king of Aksum, of Abyssinia. This was a pious and righteous man. So he was... he was somebody who, they say that. So this was like Pharaoh or something. It was a title of all the kings of the place. It was not a personal title of the individual concern. I'm trying to see what was his name, the name of An-Najashi. Let me see, what was it? His name, they say, was Armah or Ashhama, who was the one we are talking about, An-Najashi, and he reigned from 614 to 631. In the Christian calendar. So, they sent Amr ibn al-As, and Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, at that time, of course, he was not radiallahu anhu, he was a non-Muslim. So he was a friend of this king also. So he went to, first he went to all the courtiers, all the king's ministers, he went to the bishops, and he gave them gifts and so on. And then he said, look, I've come, to plead the case for these people and he called them their slaves, and he called them people who rebelled and they have escaped. And he said, you must support me. So these people, they promised to support him. So next day he turned up he turned up in the court, and he said to the king, some of our people have rebelled and run away from us, and I have come to take them back. So please hand them over to us, hand them over to me, because these people have rebelled. So he it was the custom of the king that whoever entered the court used to prostrate to him, they used to make sajda to him. Amr ibn al-As did that. And then he said to Najashi, these people will not make sajda to you. So Najashi called them. So when these people went there, they first made mashwara and they said, who will represent us and who will speak? And they decided, they picked Jafar bin Abu Talib radiallahu anhu. They said, he is the most eloquent, he is the best person to speak, so let him speak on our behalf. And this is a very good lesson in this, in terms of how we must behave when we are in a group and when we are meeting, especially people who are eminent and powerful. It is a very bad idea for everyone to talk. It is a very bad idea for people to talk who are not completely au fait with what is going on. It is much, much better, and this is the sunnah, to nominate a mutakallim, to nominate somebody who will speak on your behalf, and this is what they did. So when they were called to the court, they came to the court, and sure enough, they did not make sajda. So An-Najashi got irritated, and he said, why don't you make sajda to me like everyone else? And Al-Jafar bin Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu, he is the elder brother of Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu, he said, we do not make sajda to anyone other than Allah. So now An-Najashi then said to him, we hear that you have left your religion and that you have not joined my religion, which means you have not become Christians, and you have not joined any other religions of the world. So he said, who are you? Now, Jafar bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu said to him, he made a speech which is amazing, and subhanAllah, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him. So Jafar bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he said, O king, we were a people of polytheism. We used to worship idols. We worshipped idols, we ate dead animals, meaning something which is just dead meat, not slaughtered. We offended the rules of hospitality and we permitted things forbidden, as in the shedding of blood of one another. We completely ignored matters of right and wrong. And then God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sent us a prophet from among ourselves, whose honesty and trustworthiness we knew well. He summoned us and he called us to pray to Allah alone, without any partners, without any associates, and to honor the rites of hospitality and kinship. He ordered us to fast for Allah and to worship none other than Him. He called us to testify to and worship Allah alone, and not to worship idols, and to remove any of the idols and so on which were in our homes, which our forefathers used to worship. He ordered us to speak the truth, to keep our trust, to abandon things that are forbidden, to abandon the shedding of blood. He forbade us to do anything immoral, and not to misuse the funds of orphans, and not to make false accusations against women of virtue. He told us to worship Allah alone and not associate anyone with Him. He told us to give alms and to fast, and so we believed in Him and we trusted Him and we followed Him. And we forbade what He forbade and we allowed what He permitted us. But our people, they attacked us and they aggressed against us and they harmed us, seeking to draw us out of our faith, to return us to the worship of idols instead of the worship of Allah, and to have us again make permissible the abominations which we had previously allowed and which we had now stopped. When they treated us with violence and persecution, they besieged us and they prevented us from performing and living by our religion, we left our country for your country, and we chose your country above others. We desired your hospitality, and we hoped that we would not be harmed in your domain. An-Najashi said, did you bring anything with you from what he brought, which is the which is he meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, did you bring anything from him? Then the Najashi asked them, what do you say about Jesus, about Isa alayhi salam? Because Amr ibn al-As was prompting him. So he said to him that they don't worship Jesus and they say bad things about him. So Najashi said, have you brought anything from him, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And he said, what does your religion say about Jesus? Now Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he then recited the ayat of Surah Maryam. And again, alhamdulillah, this is the tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he recited, he said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. واذكر في الكتاب مريم إذ انتبذت من أهلها مكانا شرقيا فاتخذت من دونهم حجابا فأرسلنا إليها روحنا فتمثل لها بشرا سويا قالت إني أعوذ بالرحمن منك إن كنت تقيا قال إنما أنا رسول ربك ليهب لك غلاما زكيا قالت أنى يكون لي غلام ولم يمسسني بشر ولم أك بغيا قال كذلك قال ربك هو علي هين ولنجعله آية للناس ورحمة ورحمة منا وكان أمرا مقضيا فحملته فانتبذت به مكانا قصيا فأجاءها المقاض إلى جذع النخلة قالت يا ليتني مت قبل هذا وكنت نسيا منسيا فناداها من تحتها ألا تحزني قد جعل ربك تحتك سريا وهزي إليك بجذع النخلة تساقط عليك رطبا جنيا فكلي واشربي وقري عينا فإما ترين من البشر أحدا فقولي إني نذرت للرحمن صوما فلن أكلم اليوم إنسيا فأتت به قومها تحمله قالوا يا مريم لقد جئت شيئا فريا يا أخت هارون ما كان أبوك امرأ سوء وما كانت أمك بغيا فأشارت إليه قالوا كيف نكلم من كان في المهد صبيا قال إني عبد الله آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا وجعلني مباركا أينما كنت وأوصاني بالصلاة والزكاة ما دمت حيا وبرا بوالدتي ولم يجعلني جبارا شقيا وسلام علي يوم ولدت ويوم أموت ويوم أبعث حيا ذلك عيسى بن مريم قول الحق الذي فيه يمترون ما كان لله أن يتخذ من ولد سبحانه إذا قضى أمرا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُوهُ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ Now, Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu recited the ayat of Surah Maryam. These begin from ayah number 16. There are different narrations about, you know, exactly where he started from and so on. But inshallah, this is correct. So he said and mentioned, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the book, the story of Maryam, when she withdrew from her family to a place towards the east. And she took in seclusion from them a screen. Then we sent to her our angel, and he represented himself to her as a handsome man, as a well-proportioned man. She said, indeed, I seek refuge in the most merciful, in Ar-Rahman, from you, so leave me if you fear Allah. He said, I am only the messenger of your Rabb. I am the messenger of Allah to give you the news of a pure son, a pure boy. She said, how can I have a boy while no man has touched me and I have not been unchaste? He said, thus it will be. قَالَ كَذَلِكَ thus it, this is how it will be. Your Rabb says, it is easy for me, and we will make him a sign to the people and a mercy from us. And it is a matter already decreed. And this is referring to the birth of the Immaculate Conception and birth of Isa alayhi salam, the son of Maryam alayhi salam, and who was born without any man touching her, and she was pure and she was chaste. So she conceived him and she withdrew with him to a remote place. And the pains of childbirth drove her to the trunk of a palm tree. And this is the wahi she received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of what she should do. And she was told to shake the palm tree. And the pains of childbirth drove her to the trunk of a palm tree, and she said, oh, I wish I had died before this and was in oblivion, forgotten, nasiyam mansiya. But he called her from below her, and he said, do not grieve, your Rabb has provided beneath you a stream. And shake towards you the trunk of the palm tree, and it will drop upon you ripe dates. I don't know how many of you have seen a palm tree, a date palm tree. The trunk of a date palm tree is like a concrete pillar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only, this is isharatan. It's not that she could have shaken the palm tree. There's nobody, you can't shake a palm tree. A fully grown, matured palm tree, as I said, it's like trying to shake an oak tree or something. It's just not doable. But Allah is saying, do that, meaning that this was given to her. The power to do that was given to her. It was isharatan, it was something that she, like if she touches it, the tree would shake by itself and the dates would drop. And this is among the miracles, among the mu'jizat related to Maryam alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam. And then it was said to her, so eat and drink and be contented. And if you see from among the people, humanity, anyone, say, indeed, I have vowed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the most merciful, abstention, meaning I will remain silent and I will not speak today to any person, to any man. Then she brought him to her people. Now she's carrying this baby. Now imagine, this is such a huge test even for the people. Today we read this in the ayat of the Quran and we believe it because this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But imagine, may Allah protect us from tests. Imagine what we would have done, wallahu alam. If we were standing there and we see this young girl who's not married, and she's coming out there with a little baby, you know, an absolutely newborn baby. What would you say? And so people, that she brought him, meaning Isa alayhi salam, to her people, carrying him. And they said, oh, Mary, Oh, Maryam, you have certainly done a thing unprecedented. They said, oh, sister of Harun, and this is not Musa and Harun, her brother was called Harun, your father was not an evil man, and neither was your mother unchaste. So now they are accusing her of being unchaste. Now, she had been told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to speak and to point to the baby. So she pointed to the baby. They said, how can we speak to a child? This is a newborn infant in the cradle. How can we speak to the infant? And then the infant spoke. Isa alayhi salam spoke as in the cradle, as a baby. And he said, indeed, I am a slave of Allah. Qala inni abdullah atani al-kitaba wa ja'alani nabiyya. He said, indeed, I am a slave of Allah. He has given me the scripture, the Injil, and made me a prophet. And he said, and he has blessed me wherever I am, and has enjoined on me salah, on prayer, and zakat, charity, as long as I live. And then he said, and he has made me dutiful to my mother, and he has not made me a wretched tyrant. He's not saying powerful tyrant, wretched tyrant. How can a tyrant be wretched? Because a tyrant by definition is powerful. Wretched meaning in the sight of Allah, he is wretched. And peace on me, salam, wa salamu alayya, yawma wulidtu wa yawma amutu wa yawma ubathu hayya. He said, and peace and salam is on me the day I was born and the day I will die and the day I am raised alive. Thalika Isa ibn Maryam. This is Jesus. This is Isa, the son of Maryam. Jesus, the son of Mary. The word of truth about which they are in dispute. And then Allah said, and it is not befitting for Allah to take a son, exalted is He, when He decrees in an affair, He says, be, and it is. Kun fayakun. And Isa alayhi salam continued and said, and indeed, Allah is my Rabb and your Rabb, so worship Him. That is the straight path. Wa inna Allaha Rabbi wa Rabbukum fa'buduh. Hadha siratun mustaqim. Now, incidentally, this is also the ayat of the ayat of the Bible, if I can say that, because that is what we would call it, where Isa alayhi salam said this. He said, "The Lord, your God, the Lord is one," and so all of this issue of Trinity and so on and so forth is something for the Christians to figure out how that happened and what they did with it. Now this recitation had such a profound effect that Umm Salama radhiyallahu anha says that An-Najashi wept so hard that his beard became wet, and all his bishops and they all wept, and they were carrying Bibles and so on, the tears wet their books. And An-Najashi then refused to give up the Muslims. He said you can stay in my land and you can practice your religion and you are free to do whatever you like, and you are free to build a masjid and so on if you like. And Amr ibn al-As was, Najashi ordered that all his gifts should be returned. He said, we don't need them anymore, you can leave. And he was sent away in disgrace. Now, some important lessons. One is that hijra, meaning to move from a land in which you are not being allowed to practice your faith, is one of the fundamentals of Islam. Now, hijrah is in two ways. One is to move away from the disobedience of Allah to the obedience of Allah. This is also hijrah. and everyone can do it wherever they are, and every Muslim should do it. Change our lifestyles, move away from the disobedience of Allah to the obedience of Allah, and this is hijrat of the Muslim, of his heart, of his soul. And then of course the physical hijrah, if you are unable to practice your religion completely and properly in a place, then it is our duty to move to a place where we can actually practice it. Rasulullah ﷺ said, the believer should not humiliate himself by putting himself in a situation where he cannot handle the oppression. So he must move. So, as I mentioned before, these were people Rabbi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent them because these people were people who he sent them to establish the religion in another place as a safety measure. This is not because of personal safety. As I mentioned to you, these were some of the people from the wealthiest and most powerful families of Quraysh. Zubayr bin Awam, Uthman bin Affan, Abdurrahman bin Auf, Habiba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, the daughter of Abu Sufyan, who later on married Rasulullah, became one of our mothers. All of these were people who were members of the wealthiest and most powerful families of the Quraysh, but they left and they migrated because they wanted to protect their religion, and Rasulullah ordered them to do that. They remained there until the seventh year of Hijrah of Rasulullah to Medina, and only when Islam was safe in Medina, Rasulullah permitted them to return, and that is what they did. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do everything to please Him and to stay far away from everything which does not please Him. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب العالمين.